traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You may be seated. The name of this message is We Are All in This Together. We are living in a world that is upside down in its moral activities. Do you remember George Floyd? The individual that was supposedly murdered by the Minneapolis police, after which many riots and protests began. He was supposedly cooperative. He couldn't breathe when the officer had his knee on his neck for over 8 minutes. He said that he was not on drugs, which were all false. But do you know that the police camcorder video, which was just leaked to the Daily Mail, shows just the opposite? I saw this video. Floyd resisted arrest. He said he couldn't breathe while he was standing up breathing. He refused to go into the police's SUV squad vehicle because he claimed he was claustrophobic, even though he was seen sitting comfortably in his own SUV just minutes earlier. He asked police to place him on the ground and lied and told police he was not on drugs, despite being high on fentanyl and meth. And he claimed his mother had just died to try to avoid arrest, even though she died 2 years earlier. The media has been silent on this for months. They just promoted the wrong view for their own communistic viewpoint. What is happening with the Floyd murder case anyway? There has been no news on it for months. What would happen to the BLM movement if Floyd was not killed by a knee on his neck? And can you believe what happened in New York City this past week? We have for a long time said that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Jewish socialist Margaret Sanger, was a flaming hot racist. In fact, she was a proponent of eugenics, which is the belief that those with undesirable genetic traits should not be allowed to reproduce. We have taught this, but nothing happened. It was like no one was listening. But now, Planned Parenthood of Greater New York has admitted what we have been saying about its founders for years is true. State Board Chair Karen Zeltzer said that the organization will change the name of their building in Manhattan, New York, that is currently named the Margaret Sanger Health Center. She said, quote, "The removal of Margaret Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions to historical reproduction harm with communities of color," unquote. She further went on to say, quote, "Margaret Sanger's concerns and advocacy for reproduction health have been clearly documented, but so too has her racist legacy," unquote. Margaret Sanger had quite a life. Briefly, she ended her first marriage, dumped her children on her estranged husband, and fled to England from New York City. Upon arrival in England, Sanger had intimate relationships with sexologist Havelock Ellis, H.G. Wells, the famous author, George Bernard Shaw, the famous socialist playwright, and others in the Fabian Debating Society. After she spent a short time in England, she returned to the United States and explained that she was an escapee from an insane asylum. She got herself remarried to a Jewish millionaire, Mr. Slee, owner of a petroleum products company. She retained the name of her first husband, Sanger, after she married Mr. Slee. How's that for a woman's lip? She maintained her sexual independence. You know what that means. For more than 20 years, until he died, Mr. Slee financed her activities, apparently without complaint. Wouldn't it be great if they believed what we have said in the past about their organization? Why don't they believe that Black Lives Matter should include those black babies who are in the womb, too? Don't they matter? Margaret Sanger, a socialist, helped change the laws and culture of the world. Don't you think that the whole world of birth control and the unborn murder should be eliminated or at least made illegal? Destruction of the Christian Church. A former civics high school teacher in Atlanta, then a staff preacher at Total Grace Christian Center in a suburb of Atlanta, founded his own church in the year 2008. His new megachurch, with Sean King as its founder and pastor, was called Courageous Church. As the congregation of Courageous Church grew, so did King's public persona. He left the church in 2012 after his fundraising was questioned as to who got the money. He kept most of it for himself. Is he white or mixed? His birth certificate has his mother and father both white, but his mother told him that his real father was a Negro. Would you say that she was correct? And I've got a picture of it. Jeffrey Sean King, born September 17, 1979, is an American writer, civil rights activist, and co-founder of Real Justice PAC. The former megachurch pastor turned citizen journalist has levied a heavy doses of charisma into 218,000 Twitter followers and a column at the New York Daily News to chronicle instances of suspected injustices carried out by police in predominantly non-white communities. King counts a flurry of A-list celebrities and largely left-leaning politicians among his ardent fans. Now, he made quite a statement. I don't know if you heard of this statement. Let's get to the recent statement that Mr. King made. Well-known agitator and Black Lives Matter spokesman Sean King claimed that the next step in so-called, quote-unquote, social justice is to tear down all white people's churches. White churches are little else but, quote-unquote, white supremacy. King added, quote, "Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim as Jesus should also come down. They are a form of white supremacy, always have been," unquote. King is voicing exactly what the terroristic Black Lives Matter movement wants to do. They have already finished taking down all the statues to white people, regardless of what those whites did to earn a statue. Next, they will be coming to burn down your churches and outlaw your religion. The Portland, Oregon rioters have burned Bibles. None of this is about racism. It's all about destroying the United States of America. The Black Lives Matter controversy. And this takes us to what is happening today. I just can't believe it. How could anyone vote for Joe Biden? He is an international criminal. You can see my past sermons. His whole family is criminal along with him. He is totally incompetent. Any vote for him is a vote for Bernie Sanders, a communist. AOC, a communist. Ilhan Omar, a communist, who gives her candidacy money to her consultant husband. Nancy Pelosi, a communist. Chuck Schumer, a communist. Jerry Nadler, a communist. And the rest of the far-left Democratic Party. It should be obvious that all the large cities in the United States have been run by the Democrats for decades. Many of the mayors, governors, senators, representatives seem to be more interested in keeping their power rather than keeping the people of America's freedoms and liberties. And then there is the popular Black Lives Matter organization that has swept America off its feet. Founded by three black lesbians who were trained by hardcore Marxists. They are, or were, organizers who really believe that black lives only matter if they are killed by the police wrongly. They don't care about black lives that are exterminated by abortion or shot by other blacks. So who is against them? They are supported by over 200 large corporations, many multi-millionaire athletes, many very wealthy entertainers. Most of the politicians bow the knee to them and have given them millions upon millions of dollars. They are the politically correct organization that is communistic. The Democratic mayors have their cities burned, their businesses ruined, taken over by the radical left, and then they allow the quote-unquote mob to take down many of the Confederate and other national statues. The National Football League will have two national anthems. The first one is for the blacks. The second one is the Star-Spangled Banner. The National Basketball Association will play two national anthems. One is Lean on Me, while the other is the traditional anthem. And the United States Baseball League plays the national anthem with all the players kneeling, well, almost all of them. Let's look at the following photo, which will come up in a minute. 29 baseball players on the San Francisco Giants team are kneeling, while only one is standing. All 30 Los Angeles Dodgers ball players kneel, plus the managers and coaches of both teams, all kneeling. Who is standing? And why are the others kneeling? What is going on? Let's look at that picture. They're all kneeling, and there's one player standing. On the other side of the field, they're all kneeling. Can you believe that? San Francisco Giants and Los Angeles Dodgers players and staff knelt during the national anthem before a Thursday season opener in a show of solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. One player standing. Does anybody know the name of that player? San Francisco Giants relief pitcher Sam Conrad was the only player who refused to take a knee during the national anthem Thursday. Nor did he bow down to Black Lives Matter agenda. In fact, leftists are going nuts as the pitcher took a stand for America and blasted Black Lives Matter by pointing out the glaring truth. There's a closer picture. There he is standing. Everybody else is kneeling. Now, you notice the black cord. They're all holding a black cord. I think Sam should not have held the black cord. Sam Conrad was the only player, manager, and coach on both teams who stood. All the others knelt. They gave their knee to Black Lives Matter, which is a Marxist organization. There was a recorded message from Morgan Freeman played over the stadium PA system as the players kneeled and held a black ribbon. Why did Sam Conrad not kneel? Because he said, quote unquote, "I am a Christian." Major League Baseball, along with all the other professional sports, football, soccer, golf, race car racing, basketball, etc., are pandering to the hardcore leftists. They are also actively working for the Marxist Black Lives Matter. I told you the world was upside down. Conrad also explained that Black Lives Matter, quote, leans towards Marxism, which is communism, and they said some negative things about the nuclear family, unquote. He also said that he, quote, can't kneel before anything besides God, unquote. What would we have done? Would we have knelt or stood? When the odds are about 1 out of 80 of your peers, it is hard, very hard to do. But if you're on the same side as your Lord God, you are not the minority, but the majority. The funeral of John Lewis. And there was the death and funerals, plural, of civil rights leader John Lewis. First of all, why did he have all those funerals when funerals were off limits? The inhabitants of this country who have died in the last 4 months have not had a funeral except, of course, for John Lewis and George Floyd, who had a multitude of them. Lewis died at the age of 80 years old. Like George Floyd, his corpse was paraded in several cities, giving him an outstanding send-off. The media and the majority of politicians of both parties gave glowing reports of the civil rights leader. And like with George Floyd, there was no mention of any of his bad points. For example, the media and funeral service didn't tell of what happened to George when he was 16 years old. He appeared on the Judge Judy show. Did anybody see this? I saw it. It's on Judge Judy. George wasn't the accuser. He was the defendant. He was accused by a black woman whom he had pushed to the ground and then taken her car keys and got in her car and attempted to drive himself home. Well, he was cold. So he did better walk in the cold. He wanted a nice ride in the car. So he took her car. Quite a good person, isn't George? His motive for stealing a car said, I quote, I was going home from my girlfriend's house and it was cold outside, unquote. Well, the police began to follow him and he eventually wrecked the car. That's why he was in court. Judge Judy asked him, quote, who should pay for the wrecked car, unquote. Floyd answered, if the police weren't following me, I wouldn't have wrecked. Judge Judy then said, so the police should pay? George Floyd answered, yes. Judge Judy then asked George's father, should the police pay? George's father answered, no, he, pointing to George, should, unquote. The mainstream media didn't say one word about the drugs that were in George's body when he died either. Drugs that either caused him to be defiant or ill or both, which may have had an impact on his death. And his family are now multimillionaires, and much of the country is in ruins. And what about John Lewis? His roots were filled with the movement of the Communist Party. Lewis himself wrote for communist periodicals, fronted for communist groups, received awards from a socialist organization, and has supported socialist candidates. Lewis was a chairman in the SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was a communist organization. He hated white America. His record was one of all talk and no action when it comes to fixing the mess in the inner cities. But his supporters whine about Lewis being a civil rights hero 52 years ago. Lewis's social solutions hardly make him a hero unless chaining his people to poor schools, fatherless homes, generation to government dependency is heroic. Do you know that John Lewis's hearse stopped by the Rainbow Crosswalks in Atlanta, Georgia, one last time on his major funeral's journey? I never heard of the Rainbow Crosswalks. This painted crosswalk is in Atlanta's first gay neighborhood. Lewis, a Democrat who represented a Georgia district in Congress since 1987, was a longtime ally of the LGBTQ plus community. John Lewis was an early forerunner of the LGBTQ plus rights movement. Do you think that our God approved or disapproved of what John Lewis did in regard of the LGBTQ plus movement and opposing segregation? Crowds cheered and sang, "We shall overcome," as Lewis's hearse passed through Atlanta, stopping at the Rainbow Crosswalks at the intersection of 10th Street and Piedmont Avenue. And I have pictures. And there's the people that are all singing, "We Shall Overcome." I will have to tell you, I sang that song. Miami University. I was wrong. I didn't know a thing about it. Well, there they are. A big LGBTQ. John had attended the American Baptist Theological Seminary. I was part of the American Baptist when I sang that song. As well as the Methodist Church. Now, here's an interesting point. The connection to the Methodist Church. Who do you think belongs to the Methodist Church? Well, John Lewis was also a vice chairman of the Communist Party, USA, from 1962 to 64. John Lewis, like many other radical communist Democrats, was birthed out of the Methodist Church. Lewis attended training sessions in the basement of the Clark Memorial United Methodist Church, which is associated with the Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church. Clark Memorial United is the oldest United Methodist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. But he isn't the only one. It should be noted that both Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren subscribed to the social gospel of Methodism. Hillary was radicalized in the Methodist Church, where her communist and Luciferian mentor, Saul Alinsky, was also a member. So we got Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, and Saul Alinsky were all members of the Methodist Church. What a disgrace. I'm glad I wasn't a Methodist. The social gospel of the Methodist Church is a false gospel of secular humanism. The social gospel movement is a Protestant Christian intellectual movement that was most prominent in the early 20th century United States and Canada. The movement applied Christian ethics to social problems, especially issues of social justice such as economic inequality. Heard a lot about that, haven't we? Poverty, alcoholism, crime, racial tensions, slums, bad hygiene, child labor, inadequate labor unions, poor schools, and the danger of war. Basically, what social gospel is applying the teachings of the Bible in a psychological sense. Do good works, be a good person, help others, and all will be okay. This is what the Methodists believe, so it's no surprise Hillary adheres to that false doctrine. Hillary Clinton discussed her Methodist faith and her dedication to the social gospel by speaking to nearly 7,000 women at the United Methodist Women Assembly in Louisville, Kentucky. She encouraged all Christians to help those less fortunate than themselves because, quote, we are all in this together, unquote. Oh, that'd be a good sermon topic. Hillary does not practice what she preaches. She wants her liberal views to be forced on all of us. When have you seen her under a bridge helping a homeless person? Out in a food line serving the hungry? Are spreading her wealth she has accumulated? You haven't and you won't. It's the old adage, quote, do as I say, not as I do, unquote. Yvette Richards, board president of United Methodist Women, praised her. Quote, she is the daughter of the United Methodist Church and the daughter of the United Methodist Women. We are paired together. We are connected. She is one of us, unquote. Well, she promotes abortion, the murder of unborn babies. I wonder if she would support her daughter aborting her first grandchild. She embraces homosexuality and sodomy just as the church does. She wants nothing to do with the real gospel of Christ. She is a sheep in the Methodist fold. This should be a wake-up call to those in the Methodist belief who have any true biblical adherence to get out. Anything the Clintons are involved in is corrupt and a lie. Bill was mentioned in, I can't say her name, Maxwell's papers as being involved in Jeffrey Epstein's underage girl's sexual island. And add Elizabeth Warren's name to the social gospel of the Methodist Church. Both Elizabeth and Hillary are witches. Witchcraft has donned a new mask of respect in many places. The perception of a witch being an ugly old hag has lost out to the glamour and deception of Hollywood. They no longer are portrayed riding on broomsticks, as you see in the TV series Bewitched. Books, movies, and television have played a tremendous role in the acceptance and the reduction of fear. Hollywood is making witches more appealing to a very large and easily influenced audience. I bet you remember this show. Isn't she ugly? No. An enchanting sitcom about beautiful nose twitching. She used to twitch her nose. Nose twitching witch Samantha Stevens, who moves to the suburbs to be with her straight-laced mortal husband, Darren. The series became a critical and popular success after premiering on ABC in 1964. Went on to win several Emmys and became one of the longest-running sitcoms in ABC history. The premise was retold for the 1977-78 spinoff Tabitha, which centered on Stevenson's daughter and starred Lisa Hartman and Robert Urich. It lasted for 8 seasons. Anybody remember this? Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Oh, there's a black cat. What does that black cat have to do with it? Well, let's look and see. A half-mortal, half-witch teen copes with high school and her newfound powers in this charmer. For a time, the crown jewel in ABC's TGIF lineup. The series, which is based on Archie Comics character and a talking cat. Oh, the cat talks to her. won many of America's youth, lasted for 7 seasons. Next, Charmed. It's still on TV. You can see it today. A popular Aaron Spelling-produced fantasy about three sexy sisters who happen to be witches in the eerie San Francisco house where they grew up. Since each had different powers, they worked in tandem to fight evil and protect the innocent. Lasted for 8 seasons. Next, Buffy. Can you read it? The Vampire Slayer. She slayed vampires. A cheerleader is chosen to battle the forces of evil as she weathers the storms of young adulthood in an imaginative series that blends killer writing and performances. It only lasted for 7 seasons. Next, that says, Witch Among Us, Salem. The world of the Salem witch trials is explored in this drama set in 17th century, what state?
Massachusetts.
Lasted for 3 seasons. Well, I showed you 5. There are over 30 television shows that have appeared in the past 60 years that involve witches. These shows are part of the surge in Americans becoming witches. And there are a multitude of movies that have also have as their core witchcraft and sorcery. Witchcraft is one of the fastest growing spiritual movements in the country. Many are young girls and teens. It is inspired by the feminist movement, which is part of the New Age movement. Elizabeth Warren believes that, quote, no one should work full-time and still live in poverty, and that means raising the minimum wage, unquote. But raising the minimum wage won't do it. They raise taxes and levy fines and enact laws to keep the inhabitants of the country poor and enslaved to them. Elizabeth also says, quote, we believe in equal pay for equal work. Well, Elizabeth sits in an air-conditioned office and may work a couple hours. That is not equal. There are many hard-working people who should make 10 times what Elizabeth does and don't. That's not equal pay for equal work. Now, the mayor of Chicago. Does anybody know this about the mayor of Chicago? Who was this tall woman next to her? The mayor of Chicago, she's the little one, and her wife, the first lady of Chicago, Amy Eiselman. Laura Lightfoot is the first black female lesbian mayor of Chicago. She married a graduate of Miami University, my school. Her name is Amy Eiselman. After graduating from Miami University, Amy worked for the Chicago Library for 20 years. The couple have been together for 16 years and got married the day same-sex marriage was legalized in Illinois. The two women have a daughter. You might ask, how do they have a daughter? How do two women produce a daughter? How can they do this? Can two women produce a daughter? No, but they have adopted one. The one they have adopted is now 12 years old. Her name is Vivian. How many would like to be in Vivian's place? They both walked in the 2018 Chicago's Pride Parade and expressed much appreciation for all the diverse and loving that they experienced in the march. She has rejected any help from President Trump as her city kills itself off every weekend, mainly black-on-black shooting crimes. And here's a picture of her. I'm not sure where it's at. It's an unknown person. Here's her. Is it her husband or wife? What is that? Her partner. There's her partner. There's her daughter, Vivian. And there's Lori, the mayor of Chicago. Who are these people in Chicago voting? What are they doing? Do you know that they are supporters of Black Lives Matter? That's a shock. They are big-time supporters. Why? Because they are all abominations to our Lord God. Shouldn't all quote-unquote Christians be and do as Sam Conrad, the San Francisco pitcher, did when he didn't kneel to Black Lives Matter? He said that he was a Christian, and Black Lives Matter was started by sexual deviants. Why would a Christian obey what the queers are saying? That's a good question for Peggy to ask her in-laws. Why don't they believe the God of the Bible? I'll quote Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall merely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Well, wouldn't the reverse be true too? If a woman also lie with another woman as she lieth with a man, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood should be upon them. The world is believing the individuals who are an abomination to Almighty God. The three founders of BLM are queers. The main financial lender of BLM is a Jewish lesbian queer who was paroled from her 58-year sentence by President Bill Clinton. Her name is Susan Rosenberg. You can check with the previous sermon on her. Laura Lightfoot is the current mayor of Chicago. She is married to another female. Anderson Cooper, Don Malone, Robin Roberts, Rachel Maddow, Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres, Sarah Gilbert, etc., are all sodomites. Bob Avakian, founder and leader of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, told his followers in a statement on Saturday, which is 8/1/2020, that they should vote for Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election. My conclusion, this is very interesting. In the 1800s, after the Episcopalians of New England had built churches, the Unitarians infiltrated the Episcopalian churches. There were no restrictions on who could be members. The Unitarians first pretended to be faithful Christians. As soon as the old Episcopalian pastor died, the Unitarians, who had infiltrated the church, voted their own ministers into the pulpits of the Episcopalian church. The true Episcopalians left the churches as they could not stand to hear the heresy being taught in their pulpits. In this way, the Unitarians stole the property and building of the Episcopalian churches in New England. The church didn't follow the rules that God had set up. Now, this takes us to the recent Supreme Court decision on the Bostock case. The case will allow the churches who are still faithful to the Word of God to be sued by those in the LGBTQ communities if those churches don't hire them or if these churches preach out against them and their sins. Can't preach against their sins. This is because Most churches have a 501c3 tax-exempt status with the IRS. Thus, they must follow the IRS rules. One of these rules is that churches can't preach against, quote, public policy, unquote. Public policy is anything the courts say have said is legal. Homosexuality is now legal, so the IRS rule says that 501c3 churches can't preach against it. So the Supreme Court has ruled against the God of the Bible. The Supreme Court has said that no one can discriminate against what God says is an abomination to him because they are protected under the Civil Rights Act. And remember, that's what John Lewis stood for. Remember that the serpents want the revenues or the wealth of our churches. So here is what is going to happen. First, the serpents will file complaints with the federal government, and the federal government will come against the churches. The churches that refuse to submit will have their properties taken away from them and given to the sodomites, or sold and the money given to the sodomites. Second, the serpents will file lawsuits against churches that preach against them or refuse to hire them. And they will take the property of the churches that refuse to submit. This will cause a division in many of the churches. I think it will. The members who are more concerned about protecting their property will say, quote, we have to submit. We must obey the higher power, unquote. But the members who are faithful to Christ and his word will say, quote, we must resist and be faithful to Christ even if they take our property, unquote. But the faithful Christians will find that they are in the minority in most cases. And just like the faithful Christians in the New England Episcopal churches, they'll be driven from their churches. If the faithful Christians try to invest in another new property, it too will be taken from them. So this will ignite a small underground movement in America. Thank goodness we are not a 501c3. Our enemy, Black Lives Matter, is attempting to destroy the Christian church. Do you believe that? Many quote-unquote Christian churches are not even meeting. I told you about Cornerstone Church, the mega church here in northern Kentucky and Cincinnati, are closed to the end of the year, at least to the end of the year, maybe longer than that. Thank goodness. Many are now united with other faiths. Many are now universal. Many are now saying there's no law of God to be obeyed. But do you know what's happening in California? In similar manner, Governor Newsom of California has recently ordered every Christian pastor to bow down and worship him. So he was enraged to find out that Pastor John McCarthy refused to bend the knee. So what has the governor done? The city of Los Angeles is threatening to oppose a $1,000 daily fine if the church does not comply with Governor Gavin Newsom's order for some churches in the state to be shuttered because of the coronavirus. Quote, the state has absolutely no power to impose the restrictions it is demanding, unquote. Gina Ellis, one of the attorneys representing the church, said in a report on the Fellas website, quote, this is not about health and safety, it is about targeting churches, unquote. In mid-July, Newsom ordered churches in 30 counties, including Los Angeles County, to stop holding indoor services. but MacArthur refused to comply, as Breitbart News reported, saying that Jesus Christ, not the state government, is the head of the church. When any government official issues orders regulating worship, such as bans on singing, caps on attendance, prohibitions against gathering and services, he steps outside the legitimate bounds of his God-ordained authority as a civic official and arrogates to himself authority that God expressly grants only to the Lord Jesus Christ as sovereign over his kingdom, which is the church. His rule is mediated to local churches through his pastors and elders who teach his word. Therefore, in response to the recent state order requiring churches in California to limit or suspend all meetings indefinitely, we, the pastors and elders of Grace Community Church, respectfully inform our civic leaders that they have exceeded their legitimate jurisdiction and faithfulness to Christ prohibits us from observing these restrictions they want to impose on our corporate worship services. Quote, now the city of Los Angeles is punishing the church for its decision to continuing gathering. In addition to fines and threats of arrest, Mayor Eric Garcetti has shown himself willing to use other tactics to keep residents from breaking shutdown orders, unquote. The Federalist reported, quote, back in April, he warned that he'd given the Department of Water and Power permission to shut off utilities for non-essential businesses that were operating in defiance of restrictions, unquote. Oh, my goodness. John MacArthur has had enough of Governor Newsom's commands. The pastor has said that he has overstepped his jurisdiction. He has no control over the Church of Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the church. It says so in the Bible, not the governor. Quote, we ought to obey God, not man, unquote. It's what Pastor MacArthur has said. He is not backing down. Thank God for this brave pastor. The government of California is in a battle against the Christian churches. If the churches don't shut down, they'll be fined, and their electricity and water will be cut off, even though it's paid in full. My suggestion to Pastor MacArthur is if they cut your electricity and water off, stay open. Keep on meeting. Get portable toilets. Get one of Jim's generators. Create your own electricity. But stay open. And pray to our Lord God for protection and help. What should we do? What if our governor cuts off our electricity and our water? We gonna meet? Get a portable toilet? Get some flashlights. I don't know how we're going to run this machine with no electricity, but there's a way. You'll figure something out. Who is the head of our churches? Isn't the correct answer Jesus, the Christ? Let us keep the commandments of God, for he will protect his church. Is God sovereign? Is it he that is sending hurricanes, fires, floods, earthquakes, riots, and the threat to be under far, far leftist doctrine? Can you blame him? Laura Lightfoot and her wife, partner, husband, whatever she is? What a disgrace. Who are you going to believe? The mainstream media, BLM's queer founders, Laura Lightfoot's queer mayor's rule, communist rioters and murderers, Major League basketball, football, baseball, soccer, etc., John Lewis's legacy, Sean King's claim to destroy all the white churches. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, to be continued.